me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We could not do a series on the church without talking about spiritual gifts and the importance of spiritual gifts in the church, and so we'll be looking at that this morning. But I want to read the entire 12th chapter here of 1 Corinthians, and so you follow along your Bible as we read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for the church. We thank you for the teaching of your word concerning the church that you have given us, everything that we need in Scripture to know what you desire for your church. And Lord, we pray that as we go through this series this summer, that we would have a firm grasp on what we are to be about, who we are to be as your people, and Lord, that we might please you, that we might line up with your pattern in Scripture, and Lord, that as we do, that you would bless. And Lord, we thank you for this body of believers. We thank you that you have established your church on the earth, and that it is your church that will prevail. And Lord, we thank you that we have the promise of your word, that your church will be triumphant in spite of all the attacks of the enemy. And Lord, that we are those who will be victorious. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you this morning. Lord, we love you. We worship you. Lord, we as we sing our praise to you, we pray that it would be acceptable in your sight. And Lord, we pray once again as we go through the truth, the principles of your word, that you would help us to apply them to our lives, that we might indeed be the people that you desire for us to be in every aspect. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Imagine this happening to you. It was one of the most unbelievable nights of your life. You are one of those who has never been sick a day in his life. You have never even seen the inside of a hospital except when your children were born or when you went to visit someone who has not enjoyed the same degree of health that you have. But tonight was different. You had no sooner gotten to sleep when an excruciating pain shot through your body. The pain was so intense you could not even sit up in bed. You did all you could just to roll up into a ball and scream out to your wife, who quickly became hysterical. You hardly even realized that she eventually calmed down long enough to dial 911. And the next thing you know, you're being loaded into an ambulance and whisked away with the blare of sirens through the night. Little did you know, however, how much danger you were really in. A ruptured appendix can certainly be fatal. But even less did you realize what an adventure you would experience when you got to the hospital. In fact, the first thing you noticed that seemed strange was long before you ever even arrived at the hospital. Not only did the ambulance driver not know how to drive the ambulance, he got lost several times on the way to the hospital. He kept saying something about, well, this is my first time to drive this thing. I'm usually the chief of surgery. When the ambulance finally did arrive at the hospital, no one in the emergency room seemed to know what to do. One guy said, I don't know what to do with him. I work in the cafeteria. Another said, well, I guess I should put him on this gurney, but I've never done that before. After all, I'm usually at the front desk. The radiologist was trying to figure out how to fill out the insurance forms. The cardiologist was putting swizzle sticks in all the little canisters. And the head nurse was mopping the floor in the lobby. Everywhere you looked, people were in the wrong place and everything was total chaos. But the straw that broke the camel's back was when the custodian stepped up with white gloves on and said, I think we're going to have to operate. Fortunately, this shocked you enough that you passed out and didn't have to witness any more of this madness. What a silly story, right? It's hard to even imagine something like this being true. But what if it was true? And what if the stakes were even higher than the loss of life, as precious as life is? What if the stakes were not a matter of life and death, but a matter of where you would spend eternity. Wouldn't it be even more critical that the right people were in the right places, serving in the right way? As ridiculous as our story is, I'm convinced that something very similar happens every single day in thousands of churches across America and around the world. And I can't help but wonder how many people have stepped out into a Christless eternity because the chief surgeon was driving the ambulance instead of performing surgery. Folks, listen, if the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be all it can be for the glory of God, it is imperative that each member of His body is functioning in the place where God has designed them and gifted them to serve. Do you know what spiritual gifts God has given to you? Do you know what ministry He wants you to perform in the body of Christ called the church? Do you know where you best fit in His work and where you can make the greatest impact for His glory? When we don't know the answers to those questions, or we're not doing what we know to do, the body of Christ becomes crippled and ineffective, just like that crazy hospital. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." Turn with me again to 1 Corinthians 12. It is absolutely vital to the health and well-being of the church that each one of us understands our spiritual gifts and that we're active in using those gifts to do our part in the work that He has given us to do. And we see in Romans chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4, where God's Word tells us what these things called spiritual gifts are and why God has given them to us. And Paul uses the human body as an illustration of our Lord's spiritual body, the church. And personally, I'm glad he does this because it is a great reminder of what the church really is. You see, the church is not really an organization. The church is an organism. It is not to be operated like a business, run by paid professionals using Madison Avenue marketing techniques. It is a living organism with the very life of God flowing through it. The Bible tells us that pulsating through the church is the anios zoe, the very life of God. And as we have already seen, God has promised that He's going to build His church, and we are the living stones with which He intends to build it. And since He is the builder, we must understand how He intends to build it. But we need to understand that good organization is not enough. You know, a corpse is organized, but there's no life in it. Most cemeteries are very organized, but there's not much life there either. The life of God is what makes the church a living organism and not just an organization. And we often think of the church in material ways. We think of the church buildings made of brick and mortar, but He is building something far greater than this. Eternal. The building that He is building has nothing at all to do with steel beams and sheetrock. It has to do with changed lives transformed by His Holy Spirit. And His building blocks are not sandstone and glass, but gifted men and women whom He desires to carry out His will. And as we think about why God gives spiritual gifts today, there are three things I believe that we need to make sure we understand. First of all, we need to understand the direction of spiritual gifts. The direction. All the gifts must work together. In 1 Corinthians 12:20, Paul wrote this, "But now there are many members, but one body." Verse 12 says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now, Paul here refers to the physical body, and he says, in effect, you know that a physical body must function together as a whole unit. You can't just put some body parts out on the ground somewhere and expect them to do anything. And there must be a way to coordinate all those different parts so that they can work together as a whole if there's going to be any meaningful experience. And so it is with the church. There must be a head which unites and coordinates all the various parts of the body. And in the church, the head, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 4, we read, "There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." All the parts of the body are intended to function together in a harmonious whole. We've got to work together. And this will only happen as each of us individually is yielded to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see examples of this both ways in Scripture, but on the negative side, the church at Corinth was a church that had all kinds of problems, and division was one of those problems. And one of their biggest issues was the fact that all the various parts of the body were not working together as a coordinated whole. They were all really kind of doing their own thing instead of functioning in submission to the divine plan of the head. They were all trying to have the same gift instead of using what gifts they were given by Christ in harmony with all the other gifts for the greatest impact of the church as a whole. And the result was that there was much chaos and confusion and ineffectiveness, as there would be in the hospital like the one we thought about earlier. Folks, listen, whatever gift or gifts you have, and the Scripture, by the way, says that all of us as believers have at least one, it is absolutely critical that your gift is being used in harmony with all the other gifts in the body, and that can only happen as we yield ourselves in total submission to the head, Jesus Christ. So that's the direction of the gifts. The direction. He is the one who directs the use of all the gifts so they function together in such a way as to accomplish His purposes. But there's a second thing that we need to see here, and that is the diversification of the gifts. The diversification. Paul says in Romans 12:4, that although we have many members in one body, we do not have the same function. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 17, he says this, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I'm not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Can you imagine your foot one day saying, I am tired of being a foot. I am tired of doing all the walking. I refuse to crawl into that stinky sock one more day. I'm going to become an ear. Or imagine your nose saying, I'm tired of being a nose. I'm tired of smelling all the time. I'm tired of holding up a pair of glasses. I'm tired of getting runny in the winter. I think I will become a hand. Try catching a softball with your nose. The point is obvious, isn't it? And Paul, I believe, uses some analogies, some rhetoric here to make it clear what he's trying to say. The human body is one unit, it's one whole, and yet it is made up of many different parts. There are arms and legs and hands and feet and all the internal organs, and they all have a unique function in the body. And yet, they all contribute to the overall health and well-being of the body. But they each must be functioning the way God has made them to function. And so it is in the church. For the church to be all that God desires for it to be, every member of the body has to be functioning and functioning the way God has designed each part. And the point of application here is that every member must have some kind of ministry to the whole body. You are a vital part of the body. Every member of the body is critical to the overall health and well-being of the whole. It takes all of us functioning the way God has designed us. And listen, if my part of the body is missing, then the body is affected. If your part of the body is not functioning the way God desires, then the body is crippled. You say, you mean I'm that important? Yes. That is exactly what the Word of God says. You are that important. If your spiritual gift is missing, then the whole body is hurt. If your position is vacant, then the whole team suffers because of it. I mean, think about the game of football for just a moment. In the game of football, coaches are always trying to drill it into the heads of their players how critical it is for everyone to play their position. There is a constant temptation to follow the action rather than to stay where they're supposed to be. And when a player does that, it can be disastrous. Your team cannot afford for you to be out of position. You have to fill the gap that you're supposed to fill. You have to be where you're supposed to be on the fields. And you know, there's an interesting thing that happens in the game of football. In the locker room, where the coach diagrams the plays on the chalkboard, the plays always work perfectly because on the chalkboard, everyone is always where they're supposed to be. But when you get on the field, it can be a very different matter. And in the church, it can be a very different story as well. Not everyone plays their position. If I'm a tackle and I'm trying to cover the deep ball, that probably won't work very well. If I'm a teacher and I'm using all my time on administration, it's the same thing. Not playing my position. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:29. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? Now, what's the implied answer for all of those questions? No. No, that's not God's design. Of course not. Not everyone does the same thing. We all have different functions. By the way, there are some in that list. There are some miracle sign gifts there that passed off the scene when the apostles and prophets did. But in our day and time, we might ask the questions like this. Are all preachers and teachers? Are all deacons? Are all missionaries? Are all evangelists or church planters? Do all people have the gift of mercy or the gift of service? Do all people have the gift of hospitality? No. We all have a different function. Everyone has been given different gifts. But all of our gifts are desired by God to benefit the whole body. And the body needs our gifts to complement the other gifts. No one can be everything that is needed, not even pastors. In fact, especially not pastors. Why? Well, because the pastors have been called by God to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And yes, they do exercise their gifts in order to do that, but they were never intended to do everything that is needed in the work of ministry. I mean, imagine a reporter coming to interview a quarterback. And he asks the question, are you ready for tomorrow's big game? And the quarterback says, oh yeah, I'm really ready. In fact, I am so ready that I have decided to play all 11 positions on offense myself. How well do you think that would work out? Listen, if I could put a big S on my t-shirt this morning, and I could walk around with some kind of cape on my back, and I could leap tall buildings with a single bound, and I could fly faster than a speeding bullet, and I could teach every Sunday school class and counsel every need and make every hospital call and know everything about everything in the church, that would be the worst thing that could ever happen to this body of believers. Why? Because that is not how God designed the church. It would cripple the church. Because His design is for all of us to be given spiritual gifts that all of us are using for the building up of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 6 says this, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Listen, my friend, there is no one under God's heaven quite like you. Your gifts are as unique as your fingerprints. You are a spiritual snowflake. There are no two alike. There are varieties of gifts. There are all kinds of different ministries. And there is a wide range of results. So don't place limitations on yourself by looking at someone else or by looking at a few basic spiritual gifts and say, well, I don't have that gift, so I really can't be that important. Get that kind of nonsense out of your head right now. Because instead, we need to begin, all of us, releasing our gifts to God to be used of Him to do what He wants with those gifts that He's given to us. There's a place in the body of Christ for you. So don't try to be something you're not. Don't try to be someone else. And just like a football team doesn't need 11 quarterbacks, so God doesn't need all of us to be functioning in the same role. He has created us differently to accomplish different purposes. So be the very best you that you can possibly be for the glory and purposes of God. Play your position. Play your position. If you're a left guard, be the very best left guard you can possibly be. And if you're the water boy, then be the absolute best water boy there ever was. Well, there's one last thing that we need to see here this morning in regard to spiritual gifts. Not only do we see the direction and the diversification of the gifts, but thirdly, we see the determination of spiritual gifts. Folks, mark this well. God is the one who determines how the gifts are distributed. God is the one. We don't get to decide what gifts we get. God does that. There is not a single command in Scripture to pursue a specific gift. Why? Because God is the one who determines all that. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired." Verse 24 says, "God so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked." Verse 28 says, "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues." God Himself has designed each and every member of the body of Christ. He did not turn out a monotonous line of uniform Christians. He did not make us all boringly alike. The word for placed in verse 18 refers to the act of divine appointment. And just as God planned the physical body with all its various parts and all the different functions for the good of the whole, so He has planned the various parts of the church as well. Listen, let me ask you, what does the Bible say here? How many members has God placed in the body as it pleased Him? How many? All of them, right? Every last one of them, God has placed in the body. And when you and I are not content with the set of gifts He has given us, we are really rebelling against the sovereign will of God for our lives. We are, in essence, acting like the imaginary antagonist in Romans 9:20 who says to the potter, "Why are you making me like this?" Can you imagine that? Potter's working on something at the potter at the wheel, and all of a sudden the clay begins to speak. "Wait, whoa, whoa, wait. What are you doing? Why are you making me? This is not what I wanted to be. I wanted to be different from this." No, you see, the potter has total authority to make the vessel as he sees fit. And what does that mean for us? It means there's no place for discontent. It means there's no place for selfishness. It means there's no place for jealousy or conceit. Why? Because God is the one who gives the gifts as it pleases Him. He is the potter. We are the clay. And notice something else here. The word for composed in verse 24 means mixed together. Mixed together. It's a term for mixing colors. This is artistic terminology. And what this points to is a harmonious blending of just the right tones and hues and colors to create the perfect painting. And perhaps the best way to think about how the blend of spiritual gifts makes us unique is to think of a color palette with all the primary colors on it. An artist can mix and blend those few primary colors in such a way as to create literally millions of different shades and tones and hues. And this is what God is doing in the giving of spiritual gifts in the church. God's diversity in giving the gifts is not accidental. It is intentional. God does not say, well, let me just throw some gifts down there and see where they land. No, not at all. He is creating a masterpiece with the perfect blend of the gifts that He gives. We are His masterpiece. He's the artist. He has gifted us in exactly the way He desires for us to be gifted in order that we may accomplish exactly what He desires for us to accomplish. Listen, God not only chooses the right gifts for you and me, but He mixes us in with the right people so that the combination of those gifts will result in the accomplishment of His purposes in a given location. God has you here at Parker Bible Church for a reason. He wants you to use your spiritual gifts to help build up this body of believers. He wants you to have a ministry in this church. And you are not only the right color, to use artistic terms, but you are the right color in the right place to produce the kind of masterpiece that He wants to produce here. And folks, listen, whatever your gifts are, they are essential for this church. God wants them to be functioning here. That's not my opinion. That's the Word of God. In fact, listen to what the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4:10. He said, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Can it get any clearer than that? And that is in the form of a command. That verse tells us that every last one of us has received a spiritual gift, and that every one of us has a responsibility before God to employ that gift or gifts in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. By the way, we're all stewards. We're all stewards of you. If you're a Christian, you are a steward of God's grace. We don't get to decide if we're going to be a steward or not. If you're a child of God, you are a steward. The only question is, will you be a good one or a bad one? And there's going to be a day of reckoning when we will give an account for our stewardship. And I promise you, my friend, by the authority of the Word of God, our Lord does not want you to be sitting on the sidelines. He wants you in the game. He wants you to play your position, and He wants you to play it well. A wise coach once said this: if you believe that your position is the most important one on the field, and if you play it that way on every play, we cannot be beaten. That's how all of us should consider ourselves, is that I've got the most important position in the church, and that's why I've got to be here. That's why I've got to be serving. That's why my gifts have to be functioning in the body, because the outcome depends on me. Ultimately, we know it depends on God. But yet, we ought to strive as if it all depends on us and utilize the gifts that God has given to us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word is clear. Lord, we know that Your Word tells us that all of us who belong to You, who are in Christ Jesus, have at least one spiritual gift. Most of us have more than one. And Lord, help us to understand our responsibility as stewards of the manifold grace of God, that we might be functioning, that we might be employing our gifts in Your service, the building up of Your body. Lord, help us not to be guilty of crippling Your body in any way through neglect or avoidance or laziness, but Lord, that we might strive to please You in all ways by making available to You the gifts that You have given us by Your Spirit. And Lord, we pray that as we do that, that You would bless and that Your church would be built up in every aspect as You have designed. And Lord, we pray again, if there's someone here today that does not know You as Lord and Savior, we pray they would come to know You today. But Lord, we pray that all of us as believers, we would be obedient to You. And Lord, we pray that You would help us to be all we can be for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.